We're going to start reading this morning in Hebrews chapter 1, if you stand with us for the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to read verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He, that is Jesus, had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. In Revelation chapter 1, I want to read a couple of verses there, 17 and 18 in Revelation chapter 1. And when I saw Him, when I saw Jesus, this is John speaking, when I saw Jesus, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to speak to you this morning for a few minutes on the impact of the resurrection. The resurrection is one of the most important events of all human history. Changed the course of history. You and I wouldn't be here this morning in this sanctuary if it had not been for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It changed all of history when Jesus came out of the grave on Resurrection Day. If Jesus had not come out of that grave, history would have been vastly different from what it has been, and your life would be vastly different from what it is and what it has been if Jesus had not come out of the grave on that Sunday morning. So we establish this morning, we celebrate the event that established the Christian faith. Jesus rose from the dead. And without that resurrection, there would be no Christian church, and the whole world would still be in the grip of the devil this morning if it had not been for the resurrection of Jesus. That resurrection had a lasting impact on the whole universe. It impacted heaven, it impacted hell, and it impacted the earth as well. It impacted heaven, brother. The Bible tells us that after His resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. You know, that was quite a day that Jesus came back into the heavens. The Bible says that He appeared in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He had appeared on earth. But then He appeared in heaven and ascended back to His Father. When Jesus came out of the grave on Resurrection Day, the Father said, This day have I begotten thee. We think about that being associated with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. But Jesus, the scriptures use that in Acts 13 and 33, referring to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This day have I begotten thee, the Father said. That was a celebration in heaven, brother, when Jesus came out of that grave. This day, the Father said, have I begotten thee, brought Jesus out of that grave, and made Him the beginning of a brand new creation. And then when Jesus ascended back into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, you know, prior to His ascension, heaven knew Jesus in the form of God. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and 5, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus, before His descension into this earth, was in the form of God. That is, it was an outward expression of His inward nature. And He came into this world, the Bible says, that he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And understand this, when Jesus came out of that grave, he brought with him his body. The same body that went in that grave came out of that grave, and that's the reason why they could find no body there. They couldn't find a body there because Jesus brought that body out. And he transformed that body and made it a glorified body. Now, the amazing thing about that body is that Jesus still had the scars in his hands, in his feet, and in his side. The scars inflicted on him by the cross of Jesus Christ. Later on, he will convince Thomas of the resurrection by showing him the scars of the crucifixion in his body. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he carried that same body with him into heaven. Brother, in heaven right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is our high priest. He is our intercessor. And he bears in his body the marks of his sufferings on earth. In heaven, they are constantly reminded of the sufferings of Christ on the earth by the scars that Jesus bears in his body. I'm telling you that what Jesus did when he went back to heaven is he carried with him a resurrected, glorified body. And heaven saw for the first time what is going to populate heaven in the future. Resurrected, glorified bodies. The Bible tells us that in our resurrection, our bodies will be like his. And so heaven has got a preview of what's coming because one of us, the God-man, has already ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and heaven has got a preview of what's going to happen in the future. Resurrected and glorified people are going to fill heaven, praise God, a number that no man can number, praise God. So heaven was impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the resurrection not only impacted heaven, but the resurrection also impacted hell. When Jesus came out of the grave on that third day, it was the worst news that hell ever heard. The news flash in hell went something like this. Warning, he's loose. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I'm sure they don't have newspapers in hell. And they don't have, you know, the kind of things we have here. But I'm sure every demon in hell knew that Jesus Christ came out of that grave. Hallelujah. It was the worst news hell ever heard. That was the day they heard that Jesus Christ is loose. He's no longer in the grave. Keeping Jesus in that grave would have given hell a monopoly on men's souls. But when Jesus came out of that grave, brother, he broke hell's monopoly on men's souls. And Jesus came out of that grave and conquered death and hell. Praise God. Hallelujah. And made it possible for us to get out of the grip of hell and be saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. If it had not been for the resurrection, hell would have had a heyday with the souls of men. And the sign that Jesus gave to his enemies, the sign that they asked for a sign, and Jesus said, I'm going to give you a sign. This sign that I give you will be my resurrection. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. In other words, Jesus said, you want a sign? I'm going to give you a sign. You watch my grave. I'm not staying in that grave. I'm just going to be there for a short time, and I'm coming out of that grave. Praise God. You ever heard anybody say, watch my grave? This is what Jesus said to them. You watch my grave. I'm coming out of that grave. This is the Son. If Jesus had stayed in that grave, he would have discounted everything that he ever said. It would have nullified his ministry, everything that he ever taught, if Jesus had stayed in that grave. But when he came out of that grave on the third day, he vindicated himself and everything he said. And I'm telling you, brother, you wouldn't be able to trust Jesus if he didn't come out of the grave. But because he came out of the grave, you can trust him this morning. What Jesus says he'll do, he'll do it. So instead of a victory, hell experienced defeat. When Jesus came out of that grave, my scripture text tells us in Revelation chapter 1, he's shaking the keys of death and hell. He came out victorious over the devil, over hell, and brought the keys with him of death and hell. There had been a time, brother, that men were all of their lifetime subject unto fear of death. But Jesus came into this world to conquer Satan, who had the power of death, and he brought out of that grave the keys of hell and of death. And he conquered hell. He demonstrated his authority over death and over hell. The resurrection of Jesus impacted hell. But it didn't just impact hell. The resurrection of Christ also impacted this earth. You know, it was an awful thing to those people who crucified Jesus when they heard that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Can you imagine being one of those people who condemned Jesus to death and then getting the news that he's alive? That man you condemned, that man you crucified, he's alive. And the news, they got that news from the soldiers who were guarding the tomb. His enemies, the enemies of Christ, were the first to know that Jesus had risen from the dead. The soldiers knew it because when Jesus rose from the dead, the angel came and rolled back that stone. They fell as dead men. When they got up, they found an empty tomb. They went and told the authorities. Now, the Bible don't tell us what they told the authorities. But I know what they told the authorities. They told the authorities, we couldn't help it. Woo, hallelujah. We couldn't stop it. He's alive. He came out of the grave. Well, the authorities said, hey, don't tell that. Don't spread that news. We'll give you some money if you'll go out there and tell people that while you slept, his disciples came and stole his body away. Well now, if the soldiers are sleeping, how did they know that the disciples came? They didn't. It wasn't true. They took a bribe to tell a lie about the resurrection of Jesus. They knew Jesus rose from the dead. And those who put him to death knew that Jesus rose from the dead. His enemies were the first to know that Jesus had come out of that grave. Hallelujah. Oh my. You know, not only were his enemies alarmed because they found out Jesus was alive, but those people who loved him were surprised to find him alive. They didn't expect that. His disciples was not looking for that. The women that came to the tomb on that first day were coming to anoint a dead body. They were not looking for a resurrected Jesus. And when they got there, brother, they were surprised to find an empty tomb. And not only were those women surprised, but the disciples were surprised. You know, people sometimes make up stories about the resurrection. They talk about how the disciples you know, made up these stories about. They wanted to believe in the resurrection, so they made up a story about Jesus being raised from the dead. That's as far from the truth as it can be. They were not looking for Jesus to rise from the dead. They were surprised to find out when he was risen from the dead. And it took a while for them to get a hold of it and to believe it and to grasp hold of it, that Jesus came out of the grave. Brother, it surprised those who loved him when Jesus came out of the grave. It shocked the world when Jesus came out of the grave. The Apostle Paul was a religious Jew and a religious sinner, by the way. And he thought it was his duty to destroy everybody that believed in Jesus Christ. So he was doing his best to put out the name of Jesus and destroy the fledgling church of Jesus Christ. He thought Jesus was a dead man. And he thought Jesus deserved to die. And not only did he think Jesus deserved to die, he thought all of those who believed in the resurrection deserved to die. And so he's given his voice against those who believed in the resurrection, persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. And brother, on that Damascus road, he met the Savior, the living, resurrected, glorified Son of God on the Damascus road. It changed that man's life. It shocked him. It all of the foundations of his life crumbled underneath him. Everything he believed and built up to that point in life, it crumbled beneath him. The foundation of his life was jerked out from under him. God shocked him on that day and rebuilt his life around the resurrected Son of God. Praise God. I'll tell you what, brother, that's what God wants to do for you this morning. He wants to rebuild your life around the resurrected, glorified Son of God. That's what he did to the Apostle Paul. This man who thought Jesus deserved to die, and who thought he was still dead, and who thought all of those who taught his resurrection deserved to die, became convinced of the resurrection and spent the rest of his life trying to convince people Jesus is not dead, he is really alive, that he rose from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't just shock the world. He gave hope to those that needed him. The Bible says that because of the resurrection, we have been begotten unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The church has been commissioned to go tell the world about Jesus. We're to tell the world the gospel news. The gospel news is that Jesus lived among us, that Jesus died for us, that Jesus was placed in a grave, but that Jesus rose again from the dead. This is the gospel news, brother, and we've been commissioned to tell the world about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The thing that we're worried about sometimes is how are we going to prove that? How are we going to prove that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? And so, you know, we do our best to try to come up with some kind of proof and that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I don't tell you what. Jesus didn't go out there and tell them, you go out there and prove them that I am risen from the dead. He told them, you go preach it. You go tell it. You go declare it that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You preach it and I'll prove it. Yeah. They didn't go out and try to prove that Jesus was risen from the dead. They went out and preached that Jesus was risen from the dead. And Jesus said, I'll prove it. You go tell the world and I'll go with you. Praise God. You go preach the gospel and I'll confirm it. You preach the resurrection and I will do all of the proving. Praise God. I'm telling you, Jesus is still proving that he's risen from the dead. Oh, yeah. That's proof everywhere you look, brother, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Just look around you right here, in this congregation right here. And there is proof on every bench in this place, Pastor Clem, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus said, you preach it and I'll prove it. Amen. Praise God. You know, as a young man, I went through a dark period in my life. When I was in high school, and in an environment, public school environment, where there was skeptics, you know, teachers, some of the teachers, skeptics, agnostics. One of my teachers was an agnostic, another teacher in there, maybe an agnostic or atheist. This was in a rural school where I was. That's been, 35, 40 years ago. And his spirit attacked me and told me there's no God. And I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe it, but I couldn't get rid of that thought in my mind that there is no God. Now, I'll tell you something, brother. You don't have to give in to every thought that comes in your mind. There's a lot of people, when the devil comes around and whispers in their ear, they give in to it. You don't have to give in to it. I didn't give in to it. I thought that for weeks, brother. I'm telling you, I thought it for weeks, perhaps months. I thought that. I thought it on my knees. Every day I thought it. The devil telling me that there is no God. And I'd go to my place of prayer every day. And I'd go and I would pray and I'd say, God, I don't want these thoughts. I want to believe in you. I want to trust you. And I fought it. I'd get in my Bible and read my Bible with the devil telling me there is no God. I fought it on my knees. I fought it in the Word of God. I fought it until God convinced me that He was a reality by the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I run across something, brother, that I had no other explanation for except that there's a real God. Woo, hallelujah. And He raised His Son from the dead. Praise God. I became so convinced of that, I went through 4 years of college and at the university, most of that spent at the University of Georgia, a secular school full of all kind of spirits, and I never fought that battle again. I'm telling you, God convinced me through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and there's a real God, hallelujah, and He raised His Son from the dead. Did you know that there's only been one man ever lived that could show the scars of a crucifixion? There's never been another one that could show you the scars of the crucifixion. They're all in the grave, brother. They're all dead. But there's one man that could show the scars of crucifixion. The Son of God could show scars of the crucifixion. I'm telling you, there's a real God. And His Son is risen from the dead. And He has the keys of hell and of death. And everybody here has got to deal with Him. You hear me? I said everybody here has got to deal with Him. If He had stayed in that grave, you could have ignored Him. You could have said, hey, I ain't worried about that man. I don't have to worry about that man. But when he come out of that grave, everybody's got to worry about him. Everybody's got to make a decision about him. Everybody's got to decide what to do with that man that conquered death and come out of the grave. I read the story of Robbie Zacharias. Some of y'all know the name Robbie Zacharias. He's an apologist for the Christian faith. And by that, I don't mean he apologizes for believing it. He's an apologist is somebody who offers proofs of it. And he's a worldwide apologist for the Christian faith. And he's a member of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And he was born in India. He was born in a country that had, he said, 330 million gods. 330 million gods. He said, you talk about confused. How do you decide? How do you know? You got 330 million gods. He grew up confused. Now, his family would go to the church, and they'd go to the heathen temples, and they just mixed it up. And there's a whole lot of people do that. They sort of mix it up, you know. There came a time in his life when he began to wonder about the deep, you know, the profound questions of life. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going to? One day he asked a priest, there's a dead man laying here, and he asked the priest, he said, "Priest, where is that man?" The priest said, "I don't know. I don't know where he is." And it troubled him. He thought, you know, there didn't seem to be no meaning to life. And he got in such despair as a 17-year-old boy. He got some hold of some poison. Saw no reason to live. And after his family had gone, just him and the servant, the household servant there, he went in the bathroom and he took that poison package he'd got hold of, poured it in a glass, some water, and he drank it. And just a miracle from God, he threw up. And he was deathly sick, began to call for the house nurse, and she came, or he, I believe it was, busted the door down, got him out, took him to the hospital. He lived. While he was in that hospital, so sick from that attempt to take his own life, there was a man came by and left him a Bible. And he got somebody to read that Bible to him. And they read about Jesus. They read to him about Jesus saying, "He come that you might have life. Have it more abundantly." He said, when he heard that word life, it got his attention. It captured him. He began to realize that Jesus had come to give him something he never had before. And right there in that hospital, he began to believe on Jesus and commit his life to the Son of God. From that point on, he served the Lord and committed his life to Jesus. He said, "Jesus, I'll spend the rest of my life serving you and seeking the truth." And he did. And he still is, as far as I know. I'm telling you that that's the reason Jesus came out of that grave, is to share with you his resurrected life. Praise God. You don't have to live in death any longer. You can have abundant life through Jesus Christ. He shares with us his resurrection life. "You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Praise God. You can have life this morning. The misery of sin can be conquered by resurrected life from Jesus, brother. You can know what it is to live because Jesus lives, came out of that grave on the third day. Sister Judy, I want you to go to the piano. I'm winding up here. My granddaddy found the Lord. He's probably about 30 years of age, maybe in his 30s. My grandmother had gotten saved first. She prayed my granddaddy into the kingdom. And God saved him. He was a skeptic and a religious sinner, like most people perhaps in the United States of America, religious sinners. And he told my grandmother when she'd invited him to go to church, he said, "I'm as good as anybody down there." He'd find her praying for him. He'd tell her, "Don't pray for me. I'm already saved." He drank liquor, made homebrew, cussed and carried on, and lived for the devil, smoked Prince Albert. Y'all probably know what that is, do you? And he got a conviction of the Holy Ghost through my grandmother's prayers. He went to church, and while he was in church, a skeptic had a little girl in that church, never had walked. They took her up, anointed her with oil in the name of the Lord. God healed her just like that. She jumped off the altar, went running through the church. My granddaddy saw that. I'm telling you, y'all hearing me, aren't you? Jesus said, "You preach it, I'll prove it." I think he still does. I think he still does miracles. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying the same prayer that the early church prayed in Acts chapter 4 when they had been commanded not to teach to preach in the name of Jesus. I am praying, "Lord, give us boldness to speak your word. And I am praying that signs and wonders will be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. The Lord confirms his word with signs and wonders. He's still doing it. Oh, yeah, he's still doing it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You preach it, and I'll prove it. Well, my granddaddy saw that. He saw God heal that little girl. And he told my grandmother going home, he said, I want you to pray for me that God will save me. She said, I thought you said you was already saved. He said, you knew I wasn't. She did. And she had been praying for him. And the next night in that revival service, he said, I could hardly wait till they gave the altar call. And when they gave the altar call, my granddaddy went to the altar. He didn't know how to pray. But somehow, he made God understand, I want to get right. I want to get saved. And God saved my granddaddy that night. Wonderfully saved him. He saved him so good. My granddaddy said, all of those sins that had accumulated in his life over the years, the tobacco habit, the drinking habit, the cussing habit, on and on. Those things that accumulated in his life over the years. He said they fell off of me that night like somebody going up to an apple tree with overripe apples on it and giving it a good kick. He said my sins fell off of me that night. He went home, throwed the Prince Albert in the fireplace and burned up his Prince Albert, poured his homebrew out down the sink. Got rid of those things that he knew was displeasing to God. The old cusser was gone. Instead, God put in him a praise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Begin to glorify God. I'm telling you, brother, this is what Jesus does. The living, resurrected, glorified Son of God. That's how he changes us. He makes us brand new creatures. He shares with us resurrection life. My granddaddy's dying. He's an old man, about 92 years old, can't think anymore, can't put a sentence together, can't string a whole sentence together, says two or three words and trails off. And we're standing around his bedside and we're singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And he tried to sing with us. After we got through, he struck up a chorus. I just began to live. I just began to live. When God's amazing grace came in, I just began to live. Praise God. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. I just began to live. Hallelujah. Somehow, God put his mind together that right there in the very face of death, he could say, I just began to live, brother. He knew what resurrection life was, and you can know what resurrection life is this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Play that, Sister Judy. Let's stand together. This is the best time I know of in the world to get saved. You can live. You can have real life. You don't have to leave here walking in death. You can have resurrection life in you this morning. If you'll come to this altar and surrender your heart to Jesus.